health, cross-cultural research, and behavioral sciences. Her work experiences include quantitative and qualitative research and managing nonprofit community-oriented diabetes prevention efforts in New Mexico.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. So the title of my presentation is Diabetes Causation Beliefs Among Latinas with Type 2 Diabetes, and a little of what was mentioned before will come up here also. That's the key to a little bit of understanding between the doctor and the patient. And I'd like to thank my co-authors, Dr. Sally Mayer, Brianna Mezick, Danielle Avila, and Karen Bunn. Unfortunately, they weren't here able to make the presentation today. Okay. We have no conflict of interest to disclose. Okay. So we know that in the U.S., the prevalence of type 2 diabetes affects the Hispanic Latino population twice compared to the non-Hispanic white population. And I'd like to also say that the Hispanic population in the U.S. also faces disparities in the quality of, standard care that they receive. For example, they're less likely to get referrals for systems or foot exams or eye exams, and also HbA1c exams. So within the healthcare system, there's disparities with that as well. And this is important given that the Hispanic Latino population in the U.S. is continuing to grow at a fast rate. In Richmond, Virginia, where I currently did this research, they had a 200% growth of the Hispanic Latino population in the past decade. It now makes up 6% of the population and is continuing to grow. One of the clinics there in Richmond, Virginia, actually services a huge population, the Hispanic population in Richmond, Virginia. It's a free clinic and it services uninsured, underinsured, indigent populations. 50% of the clients that receive services there are of Latin American descent. And the clinic offers team-based collaborative care and Spanish language interpreter services, and a lot of the staff there is bilingual. One of the programs that they do have is a diabetes intensive care program to address the diabetes in this community. This is the Collaborative Pharmacotherapy Program. So it's run through the Department of Pharmacotherapy and Outcomes at Virginia Commonwealth University. Basically, it's a training program for pharmacy students as well, and they work with patients there who have suboptimal glycemic levels. And they provide enhanced team-based holistic care. It includes pharmacists, interpreters, patient navigators, and their aims basically are to improve access, educational adherence, monitoring, and attainment of treatment goals. And like was mentioned before, they have a diabetes clinic on Thursdays during the day and in the evenings. One of the challenges that this program is facing is, although they're lowering HbA1c's in their clients with diabetes, if you'll notice the green line on the top, that is the Hispanic population in the clinic, so they're still finding struggles in receiving more optimal A1c levels in this population, so that's one of the struggles that they're, and the challenges that they're facing. In addition, if you look at this graph, the red line represents the number of intervention sessions that they need. The red line represents the Spanish-speaking Hispanic population of the clinic, and the white line represents the English non-Hispanic population. And you'll see over time, as the red line increases, that's basically meaning that over time, they're needing to have to do more intensive therapy with Hispanic populations, and they just don't understand why. That's one of the reasons we did this project, was so they recognize that they probably need more room for cultural tailoring in the program. Something's missing. They're trying to figure out how they can improve the program. And that's where I come in. So they, for the most part, what they do is they do acknowledge surface structure dimensions of cultural sensitivity. So that's like we have interpreters, we're trying to improve access to care, we recognize the food's different. But I'm more interested in looking at deeper structures of cultural sensitivity where it includes values and beliefs. And I think this is a strength-based approach, especially if you use explanatory models of what causes the diabetes in the Hispanic Latino population, because there is a belief that's related to diabetes and it's called susto, or fright sickness in English. And this belief is basically the idea that strong or negative emotions like stress can cause diabetes and influence its progression. And this is more of an emotion-based idea of what causes diabetes. And the value in this belief, and it's historical, it's indigenous, it's been around, there's lots of literature talking about it, and we really haven't translated this information, and how do we use it in care? And the value in this belief, what I believe, is that it's been around for centuries historically, and it's not only until recently that the science supports this belief by looking, there's scientific evidence showing the bidirectional association between psychological distress and type 2 diabetes. We know that people with diabetes who have depression or depressive symptoms have an increased risk for having diabetes. Related to non-supportive self-management behaviors, elevated glucose, and an increased risk for mortality. And within the Hispanic-Latino population in particular, when compared to other racial groups as well as non-Hispanic whites, they do tend to report higher levels of diabetes-related distress. So the objective of our pilot study essentially was we wanted to see if, you know, what this patient population, what they believe caused their diabetes. And we wanted to explore the influence of providers, if they ask about culture-centered diabetes causation beliefs, specifically SUSTO, if that can enhance diabetes care. And we expect that patients of Hispanic Latino background will be familiar with SUSTO and be support the integration of beliefs into interactions with their health professionals. So what we did was a mixed methods approach. For the quantitative method, we had participants fill out a demographic characteristic survey and an illness perception questionnaire. Basically, the questionnaire includes 20 items of things that cause diabetes, and the participants endorsed if they believed it or not. And then we conducted focus groups. We had two focus groups. We recruited Hispanic Latino patients from the clinic who had type 2 diabetes and over 30 years of age. The interview guide essentially has questions basically asking, how did you learn that you have diabetes? What do you think caused your diabetes? And then there was the introduction of the term SUSTO within the culture. What do they think about this? Do they believe in it? Do you think it's important for doctors to ask about diabetes causation, as well as do you think it's important for doctors to ask about their emotional status? And what other factors contributes to helping Latinos manage diabetes? For our results, we had a total of 13 participants. For the most part, everyone was Spanish-speaking with a couple of bilingual-speaking folks. 92% are foreign-born of Mexican, Central American, and Puerto Rican descent. We had a pretty good distribution of men and women at the focus groups. Actually, men spoke a lot, so I was very happy about that. For the most part, 42% had less than 8 years of education, and overall, the average years of diabetes was 10 years in this group. So the results of our illness perception questionnaire, basically the most frequently endorsed diabetes causation belief was stress or worry, followed by my own behavior, hereditary, it runs in the family, diet and eating habits. And you'll see as we go through the qualitative data that the qualitative data reflects the variation in what people believe. So for instance, when I asked about what they believe caused diabetes, people included a variety of causes. They said, yes, it's unhealthy eating, it's poor diet, it's hereditary. But within the conversation, there was an interwoven theme about stress. And stress was tied to work. And they attributed stress and work as indirectly affecting their ability to eat healthy. This was something that was talked a lot about, especially coming from the men, the busyness of work. And so, for example, this gentleman, or participant actually, talked about the U.S. food, work-life environment, and culture. This participant actually was a bus, he drove a tour bus. And so he would work from 4 in the morning to midnight. And basically, this participant said that he was driving all day and didn't have a lot of time to find time to eat, and that he had to be at the bus in case the tourists wanted to come back. So he's talking about no balance at work, and he's restricted with time, and this really affected his ability to eat healthy. So he would quickly go to McDonald's, Burger King, and eat something really quick. And he attributed his diabetes to this. He says, I say the biggest cause that the food and work, what he's saying is the work balance, is the biggest cause of diabetes. Another participant talked about U.S. food environment and culture comparison with his country of origin. And basically what he was saying is when they came here, him and his son painted homes, and they were always out and about. They ate everywhere they would go. They'd eat hamburgers, Chinese food, everything, right? In other words, he used to eat too much. Well, his son had diabetes. And what had happened is his son was deported back to his country of origin. But what he noticed is that when he went to his country of origin, the diabetes went away. He says, why? Well, people are poor, food is poor, apparently the food there is poor, but it's healthier. So he was noticing and contrasting the types of foods that were eaten here in the U.S. versus his country of origin. So I used a lot of discussion that was talked about work stress to segue into the idea of susto. And it was really interesting because everybody was, yes, this causes diabetes. And, you know, the knowledge is there. People understand what causes diabetes, at least with our population. And when I brought up susto, everyone just agreed, like, yes, it's like, we can talk about this now. So they said, yes, it's part of a mentality, susto, a fit of anger, and one woman characterized it as their one's powerlessness. One woman described coraje as this woman, her mother had taken care of a family friend's son as she was at work, and as an adult, he came back into their house and robbed them, and she caught him, and she saw who it was, and she became very angry, and after that coraje, she developed diabetes. So when we asked about inquiry of diabetes causation beliefs, she said we had participants who all believe the consensus that yes, this is a good idea because it helps the physician better understand the patient, the person he's dealing with. That's a key to a little bit of understanding between the doctor and the patient. If a patient answers it was stress or it was my diet, they could be helped. They have help for the stress. They can be helped with the diet. If they inherited it, she didn't know what they could do. But it's just asking and inquiring. And when I asked about the inquiry of emotional status, they said, yes, it's important because they can plan. If a person's depressed, how are they going to know? If they don't ask, how are they going to know? They should ask. And I put this one here because this is a good example of someone who was controlled. He says, I have my sugar controlled, and this is a good example of a good patient-provider relationship. He says, I'm very grateful to God before anything today because I have my sugar controlled, and he's a blessing. He knows my body like my mother. He's relating his doctor to his mother. And my doctor encourages me with my emotional problems and a counselor, and he's aware of my health. And this one patient talks about the encouragement of the doctor and how that stimulates her spirit, and the patient takes it with them. We know that they only see doctors a couple, handful times in the year, but this is an example of how what the doctor has makes them feel, they take it with them. They also talked about collective family management. They said that the family needs to prepare itself, that the family needs to be oriented to the disease as well. And in summary, so participants did believe in various causes of diabetes as well as susto and coraje. They felt that it was important that doctors ask about this, and now the DACP team is working to apply this in their care, and we're writing a grant for a physician-provider communication training skill on how to inquire about these beliefs. How the anger caused. So coraje is anger, and the concept of susto is just the idea that strong emotions. So it's sort of like the stress axis happening, and so coraje is a strong emotion. I've had individuals talk about happiness actually affecting one's health, where someone won the lottery and they died. So, you know, that was an example of how they conceptualized strong emotions impacting health outcomes. Sorry. Maybe at the end. Okay. Sorry.